Like Pastor Dennis said a minute ago, we kicked off this series 3 weeks ago, and our goal in this series has been to talk about and to teach about connecting with God and how to develop a vibrant faith. And so 2 weeks ago, Pastor Nick kicked off this series talking about my morning. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, maybe you've been here for all 3 weeks so far, but each one of our staff is taking an opportunity to preach in this series. So 3 weeks ago, Pastor Nick, who was just up here singing, he kicked off the series, and he talked about, we're talking about the different parts of your life and your day and how you connect with God. And he talked about my morning, and he talked about how to connect with God on the right foot every day, the first thing with every day. And then said last Sunday, if you were here, which a lot of you weren't because winter retreat and then the weather was bad, right? How many of you guys were brave enough to actually be here? Hey, man, bless you guys. That's awesome. But Pastor John, our kids pastor, preached last Sunday, and it's spelled just J-O-N. There's no H, and he'll tell you about it. But it's Pastor John, and he talked about my day, and taking God to work with you and spending time with God throughout your day. And so tonight, or today, I'm going to talk to you about my night or my evening and ending my day at home with God. And then next Sunday, you won't want to miss it. Pastor Dennis is going to be here, and he's going to be wrapping up this whole series, this Back on Track series. Has anyone enjoyed this series so far? All right, good. And if you missed some, like some of you guys missed last week, we have a podcast. Go through our church website. You can find it on the media page, and you can listen back to a lot of past sermons. And so, just a question today. Does anybody just like to be at home? Any like homebodies? You're just like, I just want to be home. Get me home. Like maybe right now you're like, get me home. Like I didn't know the youth pastor was speaking today. Like the game's on later. Hope the Patriots lose, but get me home. And I heard some amens there. Yeah, that'll preach. I love though just being at home. I love arriving. I like just being at home at times. Like this past Christmas, we were out of town for a few days. And you know, it's never comfortable when you're sleeping in someone else's home and someone else's bed. And like, oh, it's too hard. And like, they heat their house way too hot. And you're like, you're throwing the covers off. But like me, I can't not sleep with covers on. Like, I tuck it around my shoulders and it's up to here. Like, I don't know if anyone else is like that, but like, and it's just not comfortable. And I just love being home and just arriving at home. And it's just nice. Your home has your smell. Like your home has a scent. Like your musk. Is that a word? That's like an 80s cologne, right? Some of you guys are like, what's the 80s? Like, but someone told us not long ago that the Wyatts, our family, we have a certain smell about us. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but we do have a teenager, so hopefully it's a good one. And he's not in here today, so I can say that. He's serving in kids' church. But I can tell you this, after 16 years of being married to Kristen, sometimes Kristen and I will fight about some stuff. We'll argue about some, right, yeah. I know, believe it. We're not perfect all the time. But, and most fights, if you give it a few weeks or even a few days later, like, how many of you guys are with me? Like, you don't even remember what you were fighting about? You know what I'm talking about? And so, but Kristen and I, we don't really fight about anything anymore because Kristen understands that I am in charge. And sometimes I don't really like you guys, to be honest. I told you to preach back, but not that much. But here's the deal. I like to put my stuff where I put my stuff, in my house. Like I have my, if you go into my office, it's a mess, but it's an organized mess. I know where everything's at. You ask me for something. Oh yeah, it's over there in that pile. I know where it's at. This is my mess. This is my stuff. And guys in the room, you probably know what I'm talking about. Like sometimes our wives don't actually understand, like I want my shoes to be here. This is where I want my shoes. They may be in the middle of everything, but that's where I want my shoes. And they're accessible. I can get to them. I can get them on. Or I want to put my bag here in this place. And then I'll turn around and walk away, walk to another room, and my bag is missing. And Kristen has put it away somewhere. And I want to put my stuff where I put my stuff. Amen? Yeah. And two grown men in the crowd agree, right? And all the other guys are like, honey, I disagree with this guy. Like, he is so wrong. He's so wrong. And this sermon is off to a horrible beginning. I totally disagree with this guy. But one of the underrated aspects of coming home is your own bathroom. Amen. I don't do public restrooms. That's just not my thing. And I'm not going to hang here very long. So don't worry. And I'm like, oh, here's a youth pastor. Poop jokes again. No, we're not doing that. But it's like, can we be honest? Like there's nothing like your own bathroom. And to me, there's nothing worse than a public restroom. And I better move on. But I can tell you this, in this church, in this building, I can tell you where the best bathrooms are. But I'm not. But home is where you get to be you. You get to be you. Home is where you let down. Home is where you take your makeup off. You put your old nasty sweatpants on. And you just get comfortable. It's where you can be you. But if we aren't careful, we'll get into our evening. And we get home and we'll miss out on the moment. We'll miss out on the moment. And there's a scripture that I love. And here's where it is and what's happening in the context. Paul is writing to one of his main guys. He's writing to Timothy. And I want you to catch the tone in this letter because you can tell that Paul is maybe even a little bit concerned about Timothy. Maybe Timothy's losing a little bit of speed and maybe he was getting a little bit complacent. And so Paul writes this letter in 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 through 14. And a lot of times, here's the deal, a lot of times we preach this to teenagers. Because Paul, he's talking to a teenager and he's like, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But here, I want you guys to hang with me just for a moment. It starts here. It says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. See, I love this because it's not passive. It's not passive at all. Like he's saying, don't neglect. Don't neglect. And I believe this happens, honestly, in Christianity all the time, where we neglect our faith, where we expect the church to do it, or we expect the pastors or the preachers to do it, or we forget that when it comes to maximizing that moment in our lives, that we've got to get on our own knees and praise and worship God. We've got to press in on our own. We can't rely on everyone else to do that for us. It's got to be something we do on our own. Which leads me to this, and I just got to tell you today, you don't have to take notes. But when preachers say that, they're judging you on the inside. And so, totally kidding. But the one thing we say in our student ministry is that note takers are history makers. And we also say that note takers go to heaven. Which is totally not true. Not true. But we want to encourage you to take notes because who knows what God could speak to your heart this morning and you'll be able to go back and look at the foolishness of my speaking today. Who knows what God could speak to your heart today. But note takers go to heaven. So it's up to you. It's your call. So if you're taking notes, write this down. We have to fight temptation. We have to fight the temptation to go through the motions rather than live to maximize the moments. Should be up on the screen. It says we have to fight. I know that's kind of long, but we have to fight the temptation to go through the motions rather than live to maximize the moments. You guys know what I mean, right? By going through the motions. Another day, another struggle. just another day at work or another day at church and another day married, another day with screaming kids. Before you know it, your evenings at home, like you're present, but you're not really present. Right? And I think that's why so many people like the TV show The Walking Dead, why it's so popular, because we can relate to the zombies. And don't come home in your evenings and put on your comfortable clothes and turn on the TV and not maximize that moment. See, there have been many times in my life where I've come home at the end of the long day and I've had to make my, this is something I've tried to discipline myself to do. And before I get out of my car, I'll give myself a little pep talk. Any of you guys like your pep talk people for yourselves? No, just me? Okay. But I'm like, all right, Jeremy, it's been a long day. You better suck it up because you're about to walk into a house full of God's blessings. And when I walk in, I cry a little. I'm a little emotional. But when I walk in, my daughter and my youngest, like they're just attacking me. And my 14-year-old is too cool to hug me anymore. But I want to maximize that moment that God has given me. My evening, my night, my time when I'm home or when I'm away or when just that the end of the day. So I, as the leader of my home, I set the spiritual thermostat for my home. I'm not the thermometer. I don't just walk in and I don't want to just gauge the temperature of the room and be like, all right, we're all going to be mean to each other. No, I want to be the thermostat. I want to set the temperature in my home. I got to be honest, I fail at this a lot. I'm preaching to myself today, just so you know. But I want to set the temperature of my home. A thermostat sets the temperature. A thermometer just registers the temperature. I want to be the spiritual thermostat in my home every evening. Can I tell you my current schedule and let you feel sorry for me for a moment? Most of you would probably be like, no, you get yourself into this one, dummy. Well, I'm going to tell you anyways. But we currently, it seems like we are in the busiest season of our lives. And here's the deal, just so you know, preachers talk about themselves because we know more about us. And so I can tell you some of the things that's going on with me and hopefully it helps you. But here, like our schedule is insane. Just lately, we've got church on Sunday. We have small groups on Sunday night. Monday, we work. And Monday night, my daughter has basketball practice and then turns right around and goes to piano lessons. My son has wrestling practice. And Jet's just along for the ride for everything. And so, and Tuesday, Evie has basketball. And Jackson has basketball or the choice of going to wrestling, which he said, I've already committed to basketball, so I'm going to do that one first. So that's cool. Tuesday, practice. Wednesday, work, church. Thursday, work all day. Get off at 5. Jackson has wrestling practice at 6. Friday, Jackson has basketball. Saturday, both kids have basketball games on Saturdays. And this coming weekend, though, is extra special, which Jackson's basketball is coaches in the crowd today, and I haven't told him this yet, but we have wrestling rookie state this weekend in Sedalia, so yeah, just so you know. And this weekend, to top it off, all of that, it's my wife's birthday. And like, right, and she's like, you're going to miss my birthday? I'm like, we don't want to. But anyways, so I know what you're thinking. This guy's an idiot. He is not maximizing the moment at all. And my wife agrees. But we keep telling ourselves, this is only for a season. It's only for a season. We're crazy busy and our schedule is insane. But we keep telling ourselves, reminding, it's only for a season. It's only for a season. So write this down. I want you to know this. When your schedule is busy, when you're tired at the end of your day, you have to be intentional with your evenings. You got to be intentional with your evenings. I can't tell you the last time that I've just got to sit down and just watch TV. Can't tell you the last time I've gotten to do that. Yeah, actually, I can. It was the Rose Bowl when my team lost. But by the way, did anyone catch the end of the Vikings game last week? Like, talk about miracles. I'm cheering for the Vikings. So now I don't want you to take what I'm talking about today and think that Jeremy's got it all figured out, because he's so smart. You can say that. But listen, I fail a lot. I fail all the time in my evenings. But I try my best. I try to set my heart. I try to set my soul. I try to set my spirit when I come home and at every evening. And I try to maximize my evenings with God and with my family. I understand not all of you have kids at home. And for that matter, I can't remember what that's like. But I believe that there are some principles that you can still pull out of today. Men with kids, dads, let me encourage you for a moment. One of the most manly things that you could ever do is represent Christ in your home. That's one of the most manly things you could ever do. I know, I get it. You don't want to look soft. You don't want to be sensitive. You're the man, and you're very, very manly. But I can promise you, if you show a little sensitivity in your home, it will work out good for you later. And my wife and I, we've kind of worked out this system. Like, she wakes them up in the morning and sends them off to school, and I put them to bed at night. And it's not like we've scheduled this. This is just how it's happened. But I love those moments of putting my kids to bed at night. I know it takes time, and I don't even, a lot of times, to be honest with you, I don't feel like putting my kids to bed. I don't feel like doing all that, but I know that I've got to do it, and I fail at it often. I tuck my daughter into bed. I lay down with her. I talk with her. I pray with her. I give her a kiss. And then we have these little names that we call each other. Not bad names, but these little names that we call each other. I've called her for years Cutes Magoots. I don't know why. And I just call her Goots. And so she calls me Poots. I don't know why she would ever say that. But And then I go out of her room, and then I head to Jackson's room. And I lay down with him, and yes, even as a 14-year-old, he still wants dad to lay down with him. And we talk for a while, and we pray together. And there's this saying that Jackson and I always say to each other, and it's something we've said since he was tiny. We always say, "You're my best buddy, forever and always, no matter what." And of course, he won't let me kiss him goodnight, though. But we've recently realized that we've only probably got Jackson in the house for 4 more years. Yeah, and then there's Jet. Jet, he's our 4-year-old, and he's usually at this point already cuddled up in bed with mom sucking his thumb. And I want to kick him out of my bed and cut off his thumbs. But don't worry. Don't call anybody on me. But I want you to catch this. Husbands, wives, teenagers, family, your evenings, your nights at home, I want you to hear this. And this is from the top to the bottom. That serving your family is an act of worship. Serving your family. Dads, serve your kids. Serve your wife. Wife, serve your home. Serve your family. Kids, teenagers, serve your parents. It may be difficult to do, but it's an act of worship. Even Jesus, the greatest one who ever came to this earth, what was his purpose? Was to serve. He set the best example in that, and so we need to follow that. One of my greatest desires as a follower of Jesus and as a father is this, Joshua 24:15. This is at the end of verse 15. It says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." But let me encourage you, when you're home in your evenings, to maximize the moments that you have. Maximize those moments. The next thing is this. You got to end your day with prayer. You've got to end your day with prayer. I can't stress enough how important this is. If you don't know how to pray, Matthew 6:9-13 sets the framework for prayer. And it starts out like this. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I'm going to stop right there because I want you to catch the very first part of that prayer and look how it starts out. It's saying, God in heaven, your name is wonderful. Your name is glorious. Your name is powerful. There's nothing greater than you, God. You are so good, God. And let me tell you, if there's one thing that I've learned about starting prayers like that it makes your problems look a whole lot smaller. When you talk about how big and how great and how powerful your God is, it makes your problems look a whole lot smaller. God, you're so good. There's none above you. If you know all the stars by name, then you sure know and care about what's going on in my life. I give you praise, God. There's nothing greater. There's nothing bigger. There's nothing stronger. There's nothing more powerful than you, Lord. If you start out your prayers giving praise to God and talking about him and how big he is, your issues seem a whole lot smaller. That person who didn't like your social media status isn't that big of a deal anymore. God, you're good. I don't care about them. Don't do that. But sometimes you need to spend your evenings. Sometimes what we do is we spend our evenings mad and upset about what your spouse said or what someone at work did or said and what someone, maybe it's what someone at school said or did, that person that made that rude comment to you or they just didn't like your social media post at all. And let me encourage you today to pray for that person. That's hard to do. Let me encourage you to pray for that person. See, God, he doesn't want us to hate anyone. And I can tell you this, it's really difficult to hate someone that you're praying for. God, I know you want us to love others, but I'm struggling to even to like this person. I want to punch their head off, but God, you said to love your enemies, and so I'm praying for them, and I ask that you would bless their lives. Pray for them. I want you to catch this, Luke 5:15. But the news about Jesus spread all the more, and great crowds came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. What's happening here is Jesus is doing work. He's doing work. There's crowds of people around him. They're surrounding him. They're pushing in. They're pressing in. And he's doing work. He's healing people, and he's touching people's lives. Jesus did work. You guys do work. You guys do work. It may be manual labor. It may be in an office. It may be in your home. You may be a stay-at-home mom or dad. It can absolutely wear you out. By the way, there was the sweetest lady not long ago who shook my hand at church and looked at me right in the eye and said, she said, your hands are so soft. Bless that lady. God. But let me pause for a moment and say that no man ever wants to hear that, by the way. I like went straight home and scrubbed my hands with the cheese grater. It's like, I'm a man. I'm a tough guy. But let's look at verse 16. It says this, yet he, Jesus, is talking about Jesus, frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. See, even if Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, here on earth, took time to pray, don't you think it's important for us to do the same thing? Prayer is simply taking the time to talk with God, to spend time with God. My last thing is this, and the band can join me if they would like. It's a free world. You don't have to. But here's what's happening, and Jesus, he's having a meeting in a home. And with some of the closest people to him. And if you remember the story that Jesus is in this home of Mary and Martha, and they have this brother, Lazarus, maybe you've heard of him. And what's happening here, it's a classic birth order situation. Like Martha, she's the doer. Like she's the one who pays the bills, who cleans the house. And like Mary, you can imagine her as like that hopeless romantic, right? And that's how I kind of read this story. Martha, she's in the kitchen fixing food, preparing everything, getting everything ready, just going from here to there, just scrambling around the house, which makes sense because Jesus is in your home. And I don't think it's by accident that this took place in a home. It says this, verse 39, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha, distracted with much serving, she went up to him and said, Martha, she was hot under the collar. She was upset. She was mad. She was so frustrated. She went up to Jesus and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But check this out. But the Lord said, Martha, Martha. And this next part is a word about so many of us today. You're anxious and you're troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. See, there's a lot of things in this world after our long, after our morning and our work day and after being home in the evenings, there's a lot of things in our world that we can be anxious, that we could be troubled about, that we can be stressed about. This world is messed up. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of anxiety. There may be unrest in your actual home. So there's so many things in this world to be anxious about. Martha, Martha. Look at the passion with how Jesus communicates with Martha. Jesus said, hey, I had to say her name twice to just calm her down. Jesus was speaking to the state of her soul. You're anxious. You're troubled about so many things. Can you hear the words of your Savior, of your source, of your Messiah, of your deliverer? Hey, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things. He goes on in verse 42 and he says this, but one thing is necessary. And so you're like, Jesus, you're about to tell us about the one thing, the necessary thing, the thing we got to know, the most important thing, the thing we're created for, this one thing that we're made for, the one thing that we can't live without, the whole reason we have breath in our body. Is this it? And he says, one thing's necessary. Mary chose it, and it's good. And it will not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? She was in her home, but she was coming home. The Bible says that she sat there and spent time with Jesus. Martha was doing what most of us do. And you're not a bad person for doing this. Don't get me wrong. Someone's got to do the work, right? But we're so busy. We've got life. We've got errands. We got a minivan. Like, we got practices and games and grandkids, and I got to pay the bills, and I got homework, and I got to feed the animals, and I got to do all of this stuff. And I wonder if we would feel like Martha sometimes. And Jesus is saying to us, hey, maybe today, right now, God is speaking to you like he spoke to Martha. He's saying, hey, chill out, calm down. I know you're anxious. I know you're excited. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. You're so anxious. But he's saying only one thing is essential. Sit down next to Mary and receive what I have to give you. See, here in a moment, we're going to stand and the band's going to play and the lyrics are going to come up on the screen. And I want you to realize the potential of this opportunity in moments like this. Maybe you've already tuned the sermon out, and that's okay. That's the purpose of any good sermon, is that you forget the sermon and you connect to the one who wrote the book. And before you know it, these are just more than just words on a screen. And a band playing. And before you know it, as we're singing and as we're worshiping together, words start to come out of your lips like, I love you, Jesus. You're so amazing. You're so good. I want to spend time with you. I've been going through a lot this week. And all of a sudden, in this environment, you have the freedom to spend time with Jesus, just like Mary. I'm going to ask everyone in the room to just close their eyes and bow their heads just for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you say, Jeremy, I would like to receive this relationship with Jesus. I would like to receive the forgiveness that only Jesus offers. I would like to, in this moment, believe. The Bible says that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you today would like to become a believer in Jesus, a receiver of forgiveness, a follower of Jesus, I'm asking in this moment right now that you just lift your hand and then you put it right back down. You know who you are. No one's looking around. You're here today and you just want to lift your hand and say, that's me. I need to believe in Jesus today. Is there anyone here today? Thank you. Praise God. Is there anyone else? You just want to lift your hand. You say, I need to believe in Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Praise God. We're going to do this. We're gonna all pray together. And I'm just going to ask everyone to just repeat after me. And if you're in this room and you raised your hand this morning, I just want to invite you to pray this prayer as your own and give your life to Christ this morning. Could everyone stand before we do that? If you at all, everyone in this room, let's just repeat after me for a moment. If that's you that raised your hand today, pray this prayer like you mean it, like God's going to change your life because he will. Let's pray this. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I know your son Jesus died to save me. I believe that he died, but he rose again. I ask you to come into my life. Change me. Make me new. I want you to be the leader of my life. Amen. Come on, all over this place. Can we celebrate? Now, Jesus, I pray that as we take these next few moments, as we form our breath into praise, may we experience you and your presence as we just stand and worship in this place this morning. Let's sing together.